Right now, it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack, with Appraise This. You can find them on the web, tqag.com. And do we have both Tim and Greg, or just Tim?
No, I'm on.
Okay, your picture. I'm on. Your picture. It's only Tim's picture. Greg, your picture has been bumped off.
That's okay. It was, I have a face only for radio anyway.
That makes 2.5 of us. Okay. So, here we go, guys. I guess I should ask you, how is life going as we wrap up a little over a month of being in confinement?
Not bad. We're kind of used to it, though. I mean, it's something that we've been doing. Working at home has been our livelihood for probably 20-25 years. So.
Yeah, so to hear people say, oh, I'm going crazy, it's like, oh, well, you know, these were things that we addressed a while ago. And it is an adjustment. It is difficult because people, you have to keep with your schedule and keep things going. So we've been doing that, and I've been monitoring a lot of the auction sales that have been taking place out there just to see what's happening. And there was one sale that I wanted to talk about, which took place in March, was at Heritage Auctions. It was, you know, the whole gaming thing is becoming very big at auction, and it was the only Nintendo PlayStation. It was a prototype. It was the only one known. Apparently, there were about 200 of these prototypes that were made, and they were all destroyed back in the mid to late 90s. But this is from 1992, this PlayStation. And it sold at auction at Heritage. It brought $360,000 with a bunch of bidders. I was going to say video buyers with a bunch of bidders, which I'm sure are a lot of the vintage gamers that are out there, that this has become a whole interesting market that people have not only the machines themselves, but also a lot of the early games. There was a Mario Brothers game, early game cartridge that sold at Heritage as well for $20,000. So,
what about your favorite, Miss Pac-Man?
Well, I was reading through. I was looking. They didn't say anything about Miss Pac-Man.
I have to be totally honest here. Total disclosure here. I don't get it. I've never gotten it, and I have never been a gamer. So this part of this type of an auction is something that I'm just past me.
Well,
I just don't.
That's kind of like contemporary art to a lot of other people. You know, I mean, it's just in what it is. It's these are the things that are generating a lot of interest. And the other thing that I've noticed in the marketplace that has really generated a lot, where 10 years ago. We would have seen this on maybe a smaller level, nothing at the level that it has really grown into, is the luxury goods, like ladies' handbags, those items,
D-I-G,
accessories.
D-I-G.
So, like, even now, there are several, Heritage just had a sale, was very successful, and I just noticed that several other auction houses have put together collections, and they are coming up in the next couple of weeks. So very, very interesting. And I think that sheltering in place and being home, I think people have more time to notice this. So I think it will be on the other side of this. This will be a sustainable market, which I think will be really great. And the third thing that I just wanted to bring up was, I was in talking to a bunch of auction colleagues and saying what's going on. We had talked about wine sales, and wine sales are, you know, going through the roof. People are home. They're buying. But on the other side of it, you don't think that they're big buyers as far as for the collectible wine. The restaurants and things, they're not so much buying. They want to sell. So there's a lot that they want to get out there, but they don't have the big buyers for, because they were the big buyers for these really great collectible bottles to put in their restaurants as showpieces. And they now want to start selling these, and it's a problem because there's almost too much stuff. So in some cases, the auction houses are looking for all this stuff to, you know, that they need to get out there to feed the machine, to feed the monster, because to do these sales, there's a desire for them. But if a lot of your big buyers are not part of that market and they're trying to sell, that causes a little bit of a dilemma. So they're working through all that, and that's we're in a whole new world. I mean, oil is trading at -$37 a barrel.
Well, I was talking about that before, and here's what sometimes some things seem so simple you don't understand why. Oil companies, it's now back to almost even again, because it'll go down again. But with oil, these producers have to keep their wells pumping. Why? Because if you shut down a well, there's always a chance it won't open back up. So they've got to keep the oil pumping. So why doesn't the United States of America say to the oil companies, sell us your oil, we'll give you... You'll pay us the $35 a gallon to take it off your hands, and we'll put it in the national stockpile. I don't understand why there's such a glut of oil and there's no place to store it. Well, then have these oil companies give it to the government, and not even have to pay the $35. Just give it to the government and put it in the national stockpile.
Be a good American. Do that.
Because they got
make a donation.
They've already got ships sitting out in the middle of the ocean and stuff like that, just loaded with oil. There's no place to store it anymore. So what are you going to do with it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm just waiting to pull up to a gas station and have the someone come out and pay me to fill my car up. That's what I'm waiting for.
Well, you know, it's funny. If you lived in New Jersey, there are no you can't go to a gas pump. They have gas station attendants in New Jersey.
Right.
And the price. So, I mean, the price of gas in New Jersey in some places is down to 97 cents a gallon. Plus, it was like the old days. They come out and they pump it. Pretty soon, they'll be offering us those gifts. Like, remember that when you used to go to a gas station? Yes. Maybe you guys aren't old enough, but you used to go to a gas station. And they used to give you things.
Yeah, I know. That's how my dad collected. Ooh, back here we are back to collectibles. That's how my dad collected space glasses. You know, then back in, I guess it was in the early 60s, or no, the mid 60s or the late 60s.
Early 70s.
Yeah, I don't even remember what gas company it was. But you would go and you'd fill up, and you would get a free juice glass or a free tumbler, and it had like the space program on the outside of it.
Well, you'd get green stamps, you'd get stuff like that. I mean, they gave away lots of stuff. They gave away. I remember as a kid, I got animals. It was a fake Noah's Ark, once at a gas station. All these things and now they used to wash your windshield. They used to do all that stuff
and check your oil.
Really, for free.
You know, that is one thing. When we were going to Bertoia in New Jersey, Vinyl, New Jersey, I was really surprised. This was when we first started going, that they still had attendants that would come out. They wouldn't allow you to fill your gas, and they still don't, I don't think. So they still have attendants. So,
well, don't you remember Texaco? I know every kid at least had family had kids that had to the fire chief hat, the Texaco would give away. And
I collected it. I did. Yeah, I did.
That's got to be out there someplace.
And also, Dino the dinosaur. I had a collection of Dino dinosaurs.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, and then those Esso trucks, you know, they're still doing those today. But, you know, those are you have to buy.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing about that, speaking of the trucks, they used to be premiums. Now they.
Right.
I don't remember when it switched over from a premium to selling it as a collectible. But I do remember as a kid that you would be able to get them as a premium rather than having to buy them.
Yeah.
So
right.
Those were the good old
things. Gift with purchase.
The good old days. You know, it's funny because there's been certain people coming up to me, wow, you see the price of gas? Because around here you can get gas for like some places $1.80, $1.70, $1.90. And I looked at them, so I said, bah, when I was a kid, gas was 46 cents a gallon.
Well, I can beat that. I can beat that. In 1970, I was doing an internship. This is in a previous life when I was a medical technologist. I was doing my internship at Grand Rapids Osteopathic Hospital, and that was in 1970, late 69, early, mid 70, and I had a Volkswagen Beetle, 1959 Volkswagen Beetle, and it used to fill up, I used to fill it up for maybe $3 or $4, because gas, they had a gas war, 23 cents a gallon at one gas station, and the one across the street would see that, and then it would go down to 22 cents a gallon, and then the other one would go down to 21 cents a gallon. It got down to 19 cents a gallon. So what? Those were the days. Those halcyon days.
See, I didn't start driving until 71, but in 1971, I had a bright orange Karmann Ghia. And I should have never gotten rid of that car because they're worth bucks today. Yes. But that car used to get like 25 or 30 miles to a gallon. And like I said, I was telling the story earlier this morning when the big crisis came with OPEC, gas went from like 36 or 37 cents a gallon up to pretty close to a dollar a gallon right away, if I remember. It went higher than that. But in New York State, you had to switch. It was odd or even license plates. And because I had just moved to New York from Connecticut, I still get my Connecticut plates. And it just happened to work out for me that my Connecticut plates were hot and my New York plates were even, so I could go to the gas station every day.
Well, your Connecticut plates were odd because you were from Connecticut.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But yeah, the good old days of gas stations actually having attendants that did everything for you, and then the kids got a gift, kind of, you know, what the heck.
Yeah.
I know. I just remember my mom got plates, dishes from the gas station. She would she said, "Now to my dad," she said, "Now Larry, don't forget, I need my plate." So,
I just remember getting green stamps, and my grandmother loved them more than anything else. And we'd go marching down to the green stamp store. I forget where it was, and she'd have like 200 books. Green stamps,
right?
And she come out with,
I
like,
I remember when we were selling on eBay, we had several different collections that people had amassed over the years of filling station premiums. also we had a number of people who we put up S&H green stamps. We sold the books of them, and I was and I said to Tim, "Oh, these are never going to sell." He goes, "Oh yeah, they'll sell.
Oh, people,
yeah, they'll sell." And they did. They sold for pretty good money.
A lot of the gasoline memorabilia too does really well. Like even the glass globes, those gas glass globes on the old filling
pumps. Yeah.
Those did well. And we had a couple of those, and now, of course, they've reproduced those a lot. But still, even the reproductions, people want those. So they're all out there. It's amazing.
And gas station signs and logos, also people love to collect.
Yes.
Well, I think there's a big sign sale coming up at Heritage in the not-too-distant future, advertising metal signs for gasoline stations, and you'd see them a lot. We did sell several of them online, and the thing was, you would see them. They used to be BB gun targets.
That's right.
The ones that were really sold for a lot of money were the ones that had the fewest amount of
but had some, because that also was a good indication of age. And that it wasn't a reproduction, because that's the other area, is that, you know, there's a lot of them that have been reproduced, and when you have something like that that you can look at and say, oh, no, that's old. Same thing with weather vanes. Weather vanes were also BB targets, BB gun targets. And, you know, to have one or two of those, then that also helps helps give it a little bit of provenance and background of, oh, yeah, that does have age.
Well, so much for our reminiscing here this morning.
That's what our business is all about. That's why we have a business.
I want you guys to stay healthy and wealthy and wise, and we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, have a great week. My friend, and you. Be well.
Take care.
We'll talk next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tim Luke, Greg Schramm, the Appraisal Guys, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This.